study on Psalm 1 tonight. Since we started reading through the Bible again this year, just for curiosity, and please don't raise your hand if you didn't do this, all right, be honest, but how many of you did read through your Bible last year and you accomplished and finished it? Just put your hands up, I want to see. All right, look around, folks. Look, several people, almost half the people in the auditorium read their Bible through last year. That's a blessing. That really is. I think that you should at least attempt to read your Bible through at least once a year. I don't think that's too much, really. I mean, through the Bible reading calendar, it's really not that much time. Now, if you're I'm a slow reader. Sometimes I have to go back over and read what I just read because of my comprehension. That's the way I am. I've just always been that way in school and, you know, some of the college courses I've taken and just reading the Bible. But I put my hand up. I accomplished that too. I finished before the year was out and started again going through it. I'm reading more this year than I did, but the gift got a hold of me too a little bit. And so I have my own Bible reading plan, but I'm going through the Bible reading calendar and with additional stuff. So that's just me. That's what I'm doing. As I said this morning, it's not a competition. We're not competing with one another to see who can read the most or pray the most or do the most or whatever. That's not what the Christian life's all about. It's not a competition. It's let's do what God wants us to do. But it says here in the book of Psalms, the very first one, the very first word in the book of Psalms is what? Say it. Blessed. Y'all know what that means?
Happy.
It means happy. The word means happy. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Or you might say happy. Now, we're not changing the Bible, but that's what the word means. It means happy. Blessed. I wrote this down. I looked it up this afternoon, and on my computer I'm able to do those kind of things quickly. The word blessed is mentioned 302 times in the Bible. That's quite a few times. So you figure, 302 times the word blessed is mentioned, or you could say it means happy. The greatest place that you'll find it is in the book of Psalms. Genesis has 43 verses that has the word blessed in it, but Psalms has 47 verses that has the word blessed in it. And so again, I do believe this with all my heart. You can disagree if you want, but I believe that God wants us to be happy.
Amen.
I really believe that. I believe that God wants us to be happy. That's part of our life. Yes, we're going to have ups and downs. We're going to be happy. We're going to be sad. There's times of crying. There's times of mourning. But there should be some times of happiness in our life. Now, I know that joy is an everlasting thing, and we should always have joy in our hearts. But there should be times of happiness also. And so when the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh, and ladies, this goes along for you too. We see the negatives in verse 1. We should not be walking in the counsel of the ungodly. We should not be standing in the way of sinners, and we shouldn't be sitting in the seat of the scornful. There is a separation that we need to have in our life. In Psalm, the very first Psalm, we see the two men, the godly and the ungodly. And that's, by the way, that's the only two men or the only two people you'll see in the Bible. There's godly men or saved men and ungodly men or lost men or women. You understand that? There's only two. You can't be somewhere in between. You can't, you know, almost be saved and be saved. You're either saved or you're lost.
Yeah.
You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. That's it. With God, it's pretty simple. Well, we have the two men, we have the two ways, and we have the two destinies here in Psalm 1. We see in verse 1, Jesus is the great example. But in verse 1, we see the way. In verse 2, we see the truth. And in verse 3, we see the life. The way, the truth, and the life when it comes to that happy person, that blessed person. I want to be blessed. Don't you want to be blessed?
Yep.
You don't want to be cursed, do you? Of course not. Nobody wants to go through cursing. We all want to be blessed. So a person who is separated from the world is a person that is a blessed person. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So there must be some separation involved in our life. There needs to be personal separation. You need to have some boundaries. We all need boundaries. There are some people that you shouldn't be hanging around with. You probably know who they may be. You might have some people that are trying to influence you in a negative way. Stay away from them. Simple. Just stay away from them. If they're affecting you negatively, if they're affecting you in an ungodly way, then you need to stay away from them. The Bible demands and commands us to live a separated life. We shouldn't be hanging around with those people. Now listen, I'm not saying that you need to be a snub. I'm not saying to snub them and make you look like you're, you know, Mr. Goody Two Shoes and you're so much better than them and you're looking down your nose or condescending to them. Not at all. But there is a line that we need to draw. There are boundaries that we need to have around us. And we're not going to allow anything or anybody to penetrate those boundaries to live that separated holy life. The only way that we're going to live a separated holy life is by having those boundaries. Old Testament cities and towns, they had walls around them for a purpose. What was the purpose of that? To keep the enemy out. And we have gotten to the point today where, I mean, anything goes. And so all the walls are down. We're just going to do whatever it is we want to do. No, I think we ought to build some more walls. We need to have some boundaries. Because separation is important. The Christian life is compared to a walk. We talked this morning in Sunday school about, you know, a race. And the Christian life is like a walk. And that's how the Bible portrays the Christian life. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Ephesians 4, 1. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. We see this more than anything else. We see that the Christian life is like a walk. Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 1. It says, "Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." Walk worthy. Not run, but walk. So the Christian life is like a walk. Verse 17 of that same chapter is, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." Look at chapter 5 and verse 2. "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Look at verse 8 of chapter 5. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And many other verses that we see that Paul talks about. But we are to walk in a way that is consistent with the Word of God. And part of that walking, as we see there in Psalm 1, is we cannot be walking with the ungodly. Now, I know that, you know, many of you have jobs and you work with the ungodly, you work with the lost. I did for so many years, and when I work my jobs, if I drive school bus, I haven't driven except one time this year. I just don't have time to do that, but I do drive once in a while. And there are some ungodly people that work there. I work for the county part-time in the summer, and there are some people that are not saved that I work with. But I try to keep my testimony to the point where they know who I am and they know that I have a line and I'm not going to cross this line. I don't use the language that they use. And it's good that they even kind of keep their language clean when they're around me. Amen. And that's a blessing, and you probably fall in that same category. Mm-hmm. We're not to talk like the world.
That's right.
You can talk and use common language without cursing and swearing.
Right.
It bothers me when I hear people curse and swear. Now, I got to say, I haven't heard anybody, any Christian lately, swear. But you don't need to talk that way.
Right.
Think before you talk. I hope and pray that nobody in this room uses any kind of language that is, you know, wrong. But watch your language.
Amen.
Watch your testimony around the lost.
Amen.
You have a testimony that you need to... That needs to be pleasing to the Lord. Lost people look at us. Kathy and I were in a diner the other day. The diner we haven't been in think only twice in our entire life. And I went up to pay, and the lady gave us a senior discount. And I just jokingly said, "So, you know that we're seniors?" She said, "Yeah, I know you and your family." I had no idea who this woman was, but she knew me, and she knew our family, she knew our kids. I says, "Oh." And then she told us her name, and it still didn't click until we asked somebody afterwards. Then we realized who this woman was, the waitress. But you'd be surprised.
Right.
How many people know who you are and you don't know who they are?
Oh, yeah.
I am shocked at that. So often when I run into people out in there in the world, they know who I am and they know my family.
Right.
It's maybe not always in a positive way either, but they know. We know your kids. And I'm thinking, oh boy. Just let me out of here, please. Hang my head and go. And they know our kids. That can be in a good way or that can be in a negative way, I didn't know who this woman was, but she knew who we were. We didn't say, "Hey, we are, you know, Terry and Kathy Fenton." But she just knew immediately who we were. You have to be on the ball all the time wherever you go.
That's right.
Yes. People know who you are, and you may not know that they know who you are.
Yeah.
You got to watch the way you act out there in the world.
Blessed
is the man, or happy is the man, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I know I've read this several times. You get tired of hearing it, but folks, that is what the Bible says.
Yeah. Right.
And we need to understand that a person that is happy or blessed is a person who lives a separated, holy life. Walking involves progress. A few minutes ago, several hands went up and said that you read through your Bible lesson. That's progress.
Amen.
Some of you maybe have never read the Bible through again. I'm not going to ask you if you have or not, but maybe somebody in this room that raised their hand never read their Bible through prior to this past year of 2022. That's progress, and I would encourage you to read through the Bible this year, 2023. Again, you don't have to use our calendar or our Bible reading program. You can have your own, but have progress.
Amen.
Make some progress in your life as a Christian. Look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. This kind of took me back a little bit when I read that. 1 John chapter 1. Did you know that Christians can walk in darkness?
Okay.
Yeah. Yep, look at this. 1 John chapter 1. And verse 5. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light." We all know that. Amen. "And in him is no darkness at all." Now, remember who John is writing to. He's writing to Christians. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. John is even putting himself in that verse. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. So it's possible that we can walk in darkness. "But if we walk in the light," verse 7, "as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." I've actually highlighted those three times that John says, if we say.
That's right.
If we say. So it's possible that a believer can actually walk in darkness and not be walking in the light. You got to watch how you're walking. You got to watch what you're doing. Look at John, Gospel according to John. Chapter 18. John chapter 18. John chapter 18. Look at verse 8. John 18 and verse 8. This is when Jesus is being arrested. Judas has come on the scene and he's planted that kiss of deceit and this kiss of death, and he's there in the garden, In verse 8, Jesus makes a very interesting statement. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am He. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. What was he talking about there? Let these go their way. The disciples, the other apostles that were with him in the garden. Jesus was saying, let these people go. And I believe that he was giving the message to all of the disciples, you need to leave. Now some people may argue and say, but they should be following Jesus right to his death. I think that Jesus said, it's time that you guys leave for a little while.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here. It's dangerous right now. Let these go. I mean, he didn't tell them to stay, did he?
No.
He told them to let them go. In verse 8, let these go their way. And so he was saying that you just need to go. And I think that because Jesus knew what Peter was going to do,
right,
how he was going to betray him, I think Jesus is saying, go, 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 just go. Go their way. Go your way. Get out of here. Go on. But you know what? Peter didn't do that, did he? Peter stayed with the Lord, and you would have to give him some credit for that, but it cost him denying the Lord 3 times. What if Peter didn't leave like Jesus, I think, wanted him to do in verse 8? Would he have denied?
No,
I don't think so. Because where Peter put himself, and we'll look at that here in a minute, but instead, Peter decided that he's just going to get a little closer and just kind of move in there. Look at, drop down to verse 15. Of John 18, verse 15. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. That could have been Nicodemus, by the way. It doesn't tell us who it is, so we're really not exactly sure. I think it was Nicodemus that got him in. Nicodemus was not with the other disciples during that time in Gethsemane, where they were praying and they were talking. But Nicodemus was there, or somebody was there. I can't for sure say it was Nicodemus. Some people believe maybe it was John the Apostle that got Peter in. But here's the thing. When Peter got in there, what did he do? He ends up denying the Lord. We see him in verse 18. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter what? Stood with them and warmed himself. Now, at first you'd say, well, there's no harm in warming yourself by the fire, is it? Well, look at Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Where do we find Peter? Standing with the sinners. Standing with the ungodly. Standing with the lost. And after a while, it cost him denying the Lord because they started asking, hey, aren't you one of them? And what is he doing? Not me, I'm not one of them. If he wasn't standing there, he wouldn't have denied the Lord. If he had left like Jesus, I think, wanted him to leave, he would have never denied the Lord. But he is standing there. Now, take a look at in verse 15. Go back to John 18. I just read verse 15, but here's the thing. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. So what is Peter doing? He's walking now. He's walking in. He's walking in the midst. Not just following Jesus. He's walking in the midst of those other people that were in that place. And of course it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Where do we find Peter? He's walking in the counsel of the ungodly. He's standing there, actually standing in the way of sinners. Now look at Luke chapter 22 and verse 55. Luke 22, 55. This is very, very important that we see this. Luke 22, 55. Luke 22:55, it says, and when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter, what? Sat down among them. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the way of the scornful. A scornful person is a lost person that just is spewing out all kinds of wickedness and doubt. tearing down somebody. A scornful person just likes to tear down somebody. So where do we find Peter? We find Peter walking, standing, and then finally he's sitting with the rest of them. And then we find Peter is denying the Lord. And so Psalm 1:1 is very, very important. We've got to learn this. We've got to get this. This will help us to live our Christian life even better. In Genesis 19:1, where do we find Lot?
Right. Yeah, right.
Genesis 19:1, if you don't know where he is, we'll look at it real quick. Genesis 19 and verse 1. Genesis 19:1. There came two angels to Sodom and Eben, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them and bowed himself with his face toward the ground. But where is Lot? He is sitting in the gate of Sodom. He's not supposed to be sitting in the gate of Sodom. But that's where he is. He's sitting with the scornful. He's sitting with the lost. And with Lot, it cost him his family.
Right.
It cost him his daughter. It cost him everything. But where we find him, he's sitting in the gates. So Psalm 1, in verse 1, again, is so vitally important that we learn this. Blessed or happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. How many times have I read that to you tonight? Have you got it yet?
Yes.
Amen.
Have you really gotten it?
Mm-hmm.
See how important that is? Look what happens to Lot. Look what happens to Peter. Old Testament, New Testament. But it happens.
Yeah.
It'll happen to you if you let it.
Right.
Watch it. Watch where you walk. Watch who you follow. Watch where you're standing and watch where you're sitting. Vitally important. Psalm 1, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Day and night. What a blessing to hear those testimonies tonight about people that are reading their Bibles and actually getting something from their Bible readings. Learning from their Bible reading. Asking questions about reading the Bible. Listen, folks, I don't have all the answers. You'll ask me questions that I'll have to say, I don't know. Because I don't know. The longer and more I read, and you've heard me say this, but the more I realize I don't know.
Yeah, right.
I'm learning more. I'm seeing more. Every time I read my Bible through, I see things that I didn't see before. And most of my sermons come from my Bible reading, my daily Bible reading, weekly, reading through the Bible. And the Lord says, hey, stop and preach on that for a little while. Okay, I'll stop and do that. And so I develop an outline, I develop a message, and it's based, most of it is all just on my Bible reading. Pastors that don't read their Bibles don't get a whole lot of sermons.
Right.
But that happens. Yeah. Rich, you got to be reading your Bible.
Yes, sir.
Jim, you got to be reading your Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff, you got to be reading your Bible.
Yes, sir.
Paul, you got to be reading your Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, you got to be reading your Bible. Who else preaches in here? Thomas, you got to be reading your Bible. I mean, people that preach, David, you got to be reading your Bible. Jud way back there, you got to be reading your Bible. And Doug way out there in the hallway waving. You got to read your Bible. Doug Benedict, are you listening to me? Read your Bible. Guys that preach need to read their Bibles.
Yes, right.
Guys that think about preaching later on, you got to be reading your Bibles.
Right.
You'll do nothing for God if you don't read this Word.
That's right.
Amen.
You got to be in the law, meditating day and night. You know that makes a person happy? When you're meditating on God's Word?
That's
right. Sonia was, did you literally do a little victory dance? You don't have to show her. In your heart. Yes. In your heart. Yes. I do the same thing. I finish reading the Bible. I just got done with the Old Testament, Malachi and Revelation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Right? You do a little victory dance in your mind or in your heart. And then the next day, though, you start right up again.
Right.
You don't wait. You don't say, oh, I just read my Bible through all this past year. I'm going to give myself a year off. You don't give yourself a year off.
Amen.
Some of you may have done that. Don't do that. A year is a long time. 365 days. A long time to not read your Bible. Don't do that. Don't do that. Read it every day. Read it every day. I read it every single day. I can't remember the last time I didn't read my Bible sometime during the day.
And pray.
Read your Bible and pray. Read your Bible. What did we say this morning? Three important things for the Christian is Bible, prayer, and church.
Amen.
Right.
Bible, prayer, and church. You need all three of them. That kind of completes that nutrition that you need in your life, spiritually speaking. A three-course meal. Bible, prayer, and church. You got to have it. You got to have it. It'll do you good. It'll help you. It'll make you happy, I believe. It'll make you feel that you've accomplished something for the Lord.
Yeah.
Folks, get this down. Get this Psalm 1, this first Psalm down. And then in verse 3, it says, and I don't have time to get into this, we'll finish this up, but it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I know people are looking for prosperity today.
No, not financial.
I'll tell you, I'm a prosperity preacher based upon that verse right there.
Uh-huh.
You want prosperity? Verse 3. You want prosperity? Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Meditate on the Bible. Meditate day and night. You'll be prosperous, and according to Joshua 1:8, you'll be successful.
That's right.
But in the eyes of God, not in the eyes of the world.
Right, preacher.
Amen.
And what's more important? To be prosperous and successful in the eyes of God, or in the eyes and the thoughts of the world?
Amen.
That's where you need to be successful.
Amen.
That's where you need to be prosperous. And so being a prosperity preacher is good if it's in the right way.
Amen.
Not, you know, send me your money and I'll give you a handkerchief.
Prayer.
You can blow your nose out. That's the only thing a handkerchief will do. But there's guys out there and ladies out there doing that, making all kinds of money. Flying around the world because people give them all kinds of money. That's their way of, that's their prosperity preaching. That's not the way it is. But it is. The Bible says that you'll be prosperous if you do things God's way. God's way. Do you know that if your roots are healthy, your fruit will be healthy?
That's right.
Your leaf won't wither.
Yeah.
If you've got roots going deep down. Where should we plant our roots? I've lived two places. You need to plant your root in the Bible. Get your roots deep down in the Word of God. So when the storms of life come your way, they will not be able to topple you or destroy you or hurt you. You get those roots in the Word of God. Second place I believe that you need to have your roots is in a church.
That's right.
In a church. In a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church. Get your roots in that church. If you're not a member, you need to join the church. You need to be part of the church. You need to attend faithfully the church. You need to be involved in something in the church. Everybody can get involved in doing something in the church. But get your roots deepened in the church and deepened into the Word of God. And I'll tell you, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It bringeth forth his fruit. If you're not bringing forth fruit, what's wrong with the roots? Something wrong with the roots if you're not bringing forth fruit. Amen.
That's right.
Your leaf will wither if your roots aren't getting the nutrients and the water that it needs. We get that water from the Bible. We get that water from the Holy Spirit, a filling of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. We need that in our life. Psalm 1 kind of builds the foundation for the rest of the psalm.
Amen.
This is so important. I'll close it up with this, but again it says in verse 4, the ungodly are not so. They're not that way, the ungodly. Let's not be like the ungodly. Let's make sure that we put verses 1 through 3, really apply them to our lives and to our hearts. And let's be concerned about our fruit, our fruit bearer. We should be concerned about that. We should be concerned about our testimony. People are watching you. I told you, people know who you are. I am shocked. I run into people a lot. Oh, yeah, aren't you Terry Fenton? Aren't you Pastor Fenton down at the church? Yeah, how do you know? I know you. We know you. We know your family. they know who we are.
Yeah.
They know who you are. You've been around long enough. I mean, we've been around here for 32 and a half years, and so people kind of know us around here. We're a fixture in Seneca Falls. We're there. I mean, they see the bald guy out there, and they know exactly who I am. They know my car. They know my truck. I have to be careful just driving down the road. They see me pull out of the parking lot. They see the truck parked out here. They see the car. They know who I am. I have to be careful about that. But so do you.
That's right.
They know where you live. And they ought to see you every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. They ought to see you coming out of your house with a nice, great, big King James Bible.
That's right.
Getting in your vehicle, putting in drive, and driving to Seneca Bible Baptist Church.
That's right.
Amen. They know who you are, and they know where you're going. They should know where you're going on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. How's your fruit? I hope it's good. And are you happy? Are you happy? You can be happy if you want to be happy. If you don't want to be happy, you won't be happy. It's up to you. It's up to me. You're as happy as you want to be. You're as blessed as you want to be. It really is. It comes right down to you and you only.
It's
your choice. Your choice. Father, thank you again for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for Psalm 1. What a blessing to have a psalm that tells us what to do and what not to do. Tells us how to stand, how to sit, and how to walk. Tells us where not to walk, stand, and sit. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for making it very clear and plain to us from your Word as to how we're supposed to be living our Christian life. Lord, help us in this brand new year to live as you would want us to live. Help us, Lord, to bear good fruit throughout this year. Help us, Lord, to keep our roots nourished with the Word of God and with the Spirit of God. Help us, Lord, to do the things that we need to do that you want us to do. And Father, I pray that we would be blessed. I pray, Lord, that we would be happy. And I do pray, Lord, that we would have a happy new year throughout this year. Even when the toils and the trials and the troubles come our way, and we don't feel like being blessed. We don't feel like even sometimes we don't even feel like a Christian, Lord.
Yeah.
But we are. Thank you for saving us and keeping us saved. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us and wanting to bless us on a daily basis. Thank you, Lord, that every morning your mercies are brand new. What a blessing. We just praise you for that tonight. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Have an invitation. If you need to come for something spiritually tonight, if you need some spiritual help, the altar is a good place to come.